Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. Like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line tonight with me my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, we're here.
Praise God. Good to be back together on another Thursday night. Nice and pleasant outside in the DMV. We're in a little, what do you call it, Indian summer, you know, on in the end of the summer going into fall, and a nice night to study the Word of God. So let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G, we had a little bit of fun last Thursday, where we were talking about how God's people in the Old Testament didn't reverence God, didn't fear God, and how when Moses went up into the mountain to get instructions from God, how the people got upset that it was taking too long, and they became stiff-necked, as the word said. And God said, Moses, you need to go take care of your people. Mm-hmm. And then Moses said, nah, they're your people. Mm-hmm. And eventually God was angry. He was going to take action against them. And then Moses, in spite of the way they mistreated him and behaved and disobeyed God, went to God on their behalf to relent and to be able to give the people another chance. And we fast forwarded that today, where people that have been blessed by God all these years, and God blessed them and made ways out of no ways for them, but as soon as they get a little impatient, they forget about God and what God has done for them all their lives, and they turn to the things of man again. And so God sent his only son, Jesus, to bail them out again. And he sent pastors like Dr. G, and Dr. G will come and pray and on behalf of the Lord take care and watch out for them, even if they messing up. Amen. And God has his grace and his mercy. But that's where we left off on last Thursday, where we were asking the question, you know, do we reverence God? Do we understand that God is a loving God, but he also is a God that will discipline, and he's also a God that will not always chide, but he will allow us to go but so far before he reins us in. And sometimes when he reins us in, it's not that pretty. And
right.
He does the same thing with individuals, but he also does it to nations. And so
yep.
Nations have to be careful, Sheila G., that they continue to reverence God and not get so caught up in man. And, you know, that's what the Israelites did. They got caught up in man, and they took golden earrings and made it into a calf and, you know, told themselves a big lie, you know. They told a big lie that, you know, it was the golden calf that brought us out of Egypt. It wasn't Moses and it wasn't God. And so all of them was on that big lie riding high. And, you know, we see that in man today, that man will believe in man and what man has done instead of
right. Believing
in the things that God has commanded. Sheila Jean.
Amen. You know, we see that throughout the Bible. Like you always say, there's nothing new under the sun, because even in last Sunday's Sunday school lesson, again, talking about the nations, talking about Israelites,
mm-hmm.
we were talking about how God had provided for them, brought them out of Egypt, brought them across the Red Sea, got everything. You know, they saw many miracles that God gave them, the commandments, and then in Numbers, even after God rained down the manna for them to have nourishment for their bodies, they started complaining, and it was just some in the camp. That's what we get. That's what we were talking about last week. It only takes a few people in the camp that started complaining and saying that, well, we don't have any meat. Well, they weren't hungry, but then they were talking about how when we should go back to Egypt, where we remember when we had meat and we had fish and we had,
yeah. Had
vegetables and this, but excuse me, you were in slavery. So Moses
right. Then
was mad. And was like, Lord, just kill me. I can't deal with your people. Here it is, God, and Moses going at it again. But then God was like, all right, I'm going to give them meat. I'm going to give it till it comes out their nostrils. Well, last Sunday, he gave them, and then after they ate all the meat, just rained it down from the sky, they ate like pigs, and a famine came. So it made them sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was those that were complaining. It's like, okay, you're complaining. You forgot where I got from. I'm going to have my wrath because you don't reverence me. So here, you want it? I'm going to show you that I can provide, but I'm going to show you the consequences of you not being thankful and appreciative of what I have provided. Well, that's the same thing here today. God continued to provide the nations, the various nations, things like us, the ability to go to school, the ability to eat, the ability to go through a fast food restaurant. You know, they used to have a lot of those back then, stores.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we, again, take God for granted and worship man and what man can do and not worshiping the Lord. So the Lord had what happened? Okay, I'm going to let you all have these things. I'm going to let you live any kind of way. I'm going to let you compromise my word. But you know what? As a result of that, I'm going to shut it down. And he shut down the whole nation. So now we have an opportunity to have that reverence. I know, Anna, at least when we were studying the Sunday school lesson with those Israelites, she was like, it's just disrespectful. And that's how it is. We're just the way people talk to each other, the way people don't love their neighbor, the way that they love themselves, the way our politics are, and the way church got involved in politics and people sneaking, corporate offices, everything, it's just disrespectful to God. And because we're not reverencing and we're being disrespectful to God, he has to show us who's all in charge. And he's given us the opportunity right here, right now, to turn around, trust him. Those of us that will continue to trust him and reverence him will be able to get through this storm. But those of us that aren't going to be able to get through that storm with the same peace of the Lord in their heart.
Amen, amen. Dr. G, you chime in on that?
Yeah, you know, I think what Christians especially forget is that although God is a loving and merciful God filled with grace, you know, when we commit acts of sin, punishment is still going to come. And we've still got to pay the price. We're still going to get our behinds whipped. And, you know, we have to keep all of that in mind. And the thing that really hurts us is the fact that when it comes to believing in this invisible God that we can't see, we have a problem with it. We want made-up gods, something that's tangible, something that, you know, we can see with the Israelites. They made their God. And, you know, it's the same old thing. You know, Sheila was talking about the big lie. They had one back there. Well, we got ours today. And, it, I mean, and nothing really changed. I mean, you know, we want to worship, as Sheila was saying, man. I mean, I just can't see it. You know, when you think about how good God has been to you, and, you know, we have to get back to that point. As both of you were saying, you know, we have to thank God for all that he does and then learn how to be grateful for the fact that he is God, because he could have wiped us off the face of the earth.
Lord,
long.
Have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We spoke a little bit about that in our sermon on Sunday about how Noah telling folk, well, I was building a boat. They called it a boat for over 100 years. And it had never rained before. And that the people just kept doing wicked things. They just kept doing wicked things. And God wiped them out with a flood. And after they flooded for 150 days, that he put a bow in the sky and said he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't wipe them out again with water. But in the book of Revelation, it talks about that death and hell were going to be thrown into the lake of fire along with Satan and his folk. And there has to come a point in time where people have to realize they're going to have to pay the viper. They're going to have to, in the book of Revelation, that everyone's going to stand and give an account. Of what they did in this body. And at some point, you can fool, you can talk your way out of a whole lot of stuff, but at some point, you're going to stand and give an account of your own deeds. And the book of Revelation said, and those whose names weren't found in the Lamb's book of life were cast into the lake of fire. We need to make sure that our name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And God has given us grace, and we're living in grace. We're living with this unmerited favor that we didn't deserve it, but God loved us anyway, that he gave it to us. And that's one of the things where we, you know, our love wax cold, our love. We get that, what have you done for me lately? It's like, you know, we take God for granted. Oh, he's going to give me air today, so, you know, no big deal. I don't have to thank him. Oh, he's going to give me in my right mind today. I don't have to worry about it. Don't have to thank him. You know, it's sort of like when you're in a relationship with your husband or your wife, that you take them for granted. But, you know, you have to appreciate them, and you have to let them know that you appreciate them. You have to let them know that, you know, you don't take them for granted. You have to nurture that relationship. And so we have to learn to reverence God and nurture that relationship that we have with God and realize the great sacrifice that he gave through his son. And so that takes us back to where we left off in Acts 17, where Jesus is referenced by Paul. When Paul in Acts 17, verse 30, verse 32, well, if we go back to verse 30, 31, and it says, because this is Acts 17, verse 31, it says, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge, the world in righteousness by the world, by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. And so Paul is saying, I'm coming to you in the synagogue, Jews, where God is coming to you first, presenting to you this message of the Messiah, the one that he promised was coming. And he's saying, this is who, if you don't believe and you keep turning to these unknown gods, is going to judge you. In other words, there's going to be a time where you get judged, and Jesus, the one who's making this sacrifice, is the one that's going to judge you. And when you realize that, when you realize that he's the one that's going to judge you, then you can rest assured that you don't have to chase after these unknown gods, that you don't have to chase after these little g's, but you can rest assured that you have what Paul said, we live, move, and have our being in him, because he's given us all life.
Right.
And once you, and he's given, and he's satisfied all of our needs. And once you understand that, that he is the one that was a promise, he is the one that fulfilled God's son being the righteous one, the anointed one, then you can deal with what your disappointments, you can deal with having to wait on God, you can deal with the downs, you can deal with the situation and the circumstances, because you know you live, you move, and you have your being in God. And you don't have to go a whoring after these other things. You can say, "Now I'm gonna wait on the Lord. You know, I know who." And one of the things that back in the day was, "I know who I came to the dance with. I don't have to go out chasing after that one. I don't have to go chasing after that one. I know who brought me to the dance." In other words, I know who's looking out for me. I know who's I know where my bread is buttered. I know who's the one that gives me every breath. I know who's one that's giving me my protection. And so I don't have to go a whoring after these other gods, but I can wait on the Lord because I got history with him, as you said, Sheila, and I know what he's done. So Satan, and one of the things that you said last week, Sheila, was that Satan uses these things of power and man and influence of power in men to get us off our game. It's almost like a temptation. It's like a temptation that he lures us away from the true and living God and gets us to turn against God. But if we stay with the one that brought us to the dance, if we stay with the one that has given us everything we need, even though those temptations come, even though those frustrations come, even though Satan puts things in our way to cause us to want to take the shortcut and do it man's way, or believe lies or believe things that are going to make us feel good, if we stick with God, in the end, we'll come out victorious. Sheila Jean.
Amen, amen. You know, using that same analogy of staying with the one that we brought to the dance or that came to the dance with, that means that we can't have that wandering eye. So if you go to the dance with somebody and that person has a wandering eye, then that relationship is going to be disconnected, and you can't come running back to that person expecting to have a relationship. So we can't. What happens to us is we become Christians. We say we trust in God, we believe in God, but we still have that wandering eye, and that's what Satan dangles, that temptation. But God provides a way out of temptation, but we won't know that way out if we don't know him. And the only way to know him is to study his word and to pray and to develop that relationship. So when that temptation comes, you don't have that wandering eye. You are satisfied. You are content with the came to the dance with, so you don't have this wondering eye thinking, well, maybe there's better, I can have a little bit of that or a little bit of this. No, you are consistent, you're waiting on that person, waiting on the Lord to take you through, deliver you through, take you to that next level. But I heard an expression today, and I'm going to see if I can't get it right. You can feel impatience, but you can't be impatient. So you feel anxious and excited, and you're waiting, but you can't be impatient with the Lord and do things yourself. So you have to be patient, even though you feel impatient, because you know that by waiting on the Lord, he's going to get you through. But we don't want to do that. We want to do what we see. We want to, while we're waiting, we want to wander. And you can't do that. If you're waiting, you have patiently wait on the Lord to deliver you, to reveal things to you, but you can't do it if you don't have the relationship. And in order to do that, Sunday's not enough. Sunday for a couple of hours is not enough. You have to talk to him daily. You got to read his word daily, even if you hum a song to yourself, because that way you can constantly renew in your mind, refocusing your focus on the Lord. Because we, in our Christian walk, Satan dangles stuff and temptations in front of us, feeds that flesh daily, and we have to crucify the flesh with the spirit, but we can only
That's
do
right.
that by strengthening our relationship with God.
Amen. And like you say, you have to do it daily because in this physical body is, it wants to do its thing. It wants to do its own thing. It's been like that from the beginning, and it's the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eye. And those things are still the same as it was with Adam and Eve. And Satan works that. He knows that. He works that. He pimps that. Let me get him going with this. It's going to look bad. Let me go with this. It's going to feel bad. Let me go with this. It's going to make them feel like they know they are superior, and God's holding something out on them. And he's been working that since Adam and Eve, were created on this earth. And we have to be cognizant of that because we can get worked too. We can get pimped too. Next thing you know, you're out there somewhere looking stupid, believing something stupid that man said. And facing the consequences, like you said, Dr. G, because of what somebody said. And then when it comes time for judgment day, we're like, oh, no, man, I wish I ain't never did so-and-so. And it's like, man, it ain't going to get it. It's because, the selfish nature that we have. And we have to allow God to satisfy that need and satisfy that desire to learn to wait on God. But we don't want to wait on nothing. Oh, my God, the microwave ain't even good enough for you. You put something in the microwave, you still looking at the microwave. Like, goodness gracious. I remember we didn't have a microwave. You had to turn the oven on, and you had to wait for it to heat up, and you had to put some pans together. And sometimes you had to put a little, I don't know if y'all remember what, but Ma used to have that can of grease on the back of the stove. And Grandma used to have a can of, I know somebody knows what I'm talking about. They had a little grand can of grease on the back and all the, don't throw that away. Don't put that down the sink. Put that in that can. And, you take that skillet and you put that grease in there and, you get the skillet the right flavor, seasoning, that joker. And, but you had to wait for, you had to cook with stuff. You didn't just put it in the microwave. You had to put some effort into it. You had to put some love into it. You had to put some time into it in order for it to taste just right. Mm-hmm. And once you take that cornbread out and that seasoned skillet or whatever, that you had put a little bit of that lard in there with that seasoning from them drippings, and you put a little bit in your greens also and your black eyed peas. We put everything. Put a little bit of something in that, and you cooked on the stove. And then the advent of the microwave was, Lord have mercy. You pop it in and pop it out, and sometimes it tastes good and sometimes it don't taste good. But we're always in a hurry and not realizing that God doesn't work on our time frame, that God has his own time frame. And if we learn to adjust ourselves to God's time frame, it's going to come out best for us. Sort of like that cornbread that's cooked in that skillet with that grease from off the back and that back can that used to be on top of the stove. People don't put that can on the back stove anymore. Dr. G, help me out.
Well, you mentioned it, but I have a couple of little small tins down there now that I still save my grease.
Come on, man.
I remember that, and I pulled that. But you've got to be patient when it comes to God. And the thing is, to wait on him, you've got to really be serious about your walk with Christ.
Right.
Because if you're not going to do the things that you need to do in order to, number one, wait on him, be patient, trust in him, knowing that his way is better than all in any other kind of way. So you've got to be serious about your life in Christ. And when we look out at our world today, not just this country, but you talk about the world. I mean, the world has gone crazy. These religious leaders, they talk a good game, but they're doing other things that go against the word of God. I mean, they just started catching, all of these priests and all of the stuff that they've been doing in the Catholic Church for years. So all of it is beginning to come to light. And the thing that we better wake up and see, God is not playing. Although we haven't reached the end yet, these are just the beginning.
Amen, amen. So back to Acts 17. So he ends verse 31 and says he raised him from the dead. So this is Paul telling them the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets that were pointing to Jesus. And so when he finished his talk to them in the synagogue, in verse 32 it says, Acts 17, verse 32, it says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. And so, you know, some mock, some laugh, and some said, we want to hear some more. But there's going to come a time, and this is what I don't think the world really tuned in to, Sheila, that it's going to be the last one.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the last message. I don't know if anybody's ever rode public transportation, but at a certain time during the day, that's their last train. And if you don't get that last train, you ain't going on that destination. And, you know, we used to ride the metro, we used to ride the metro bus, the metro train. And so you was always cognizant of when that last train went. And so you had to stop.
Right.
You was on the platform before that last train went through, or that last bus came through, or if you had a last midnight flight somewhere, you had to get around to that concourse to make sure that when they boarded, that you were able to get on the plane, because once that joker started taxing, ain't nothing else smoking. There's nothing else coming.
Right.
You know, and this is what the world has to understand, is that Jesus is the last thing.
Yeah.
There's nothing else coming after Jesus. It's like the hand of grace is extended. God's got the hand of Jesus came, paid the price for the sins of the world, past, present, and future. He paid it. There's nothing, there's no other God, there's no other unknown God is coming after Jesus. This is it.
Right.
This is the last train. This is the last plane. This is the last bus. Ain't nothing else coming out that station. Ain't nothing else smoking. They say you can look down there, ain't nothing else smoking. Last ship, whatever you want to call. This is it. And once the Lord cracks the sky and comes back to receive those that the dead in Christ will get up first, and those that remain will be caught up to meet him in the air and be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. That's it. Ain't nothing else out. The period of grace is going to come to an end, but I don't think the world understands that the period of grace is going to turn. The dispensation of grace is going to end, and then the tribulation period is coming. And once the tribulation period is coming, folk going to want to be saved but can't be saved. Help me out, Sheila G.
Amen. It made me think of an expression that Ma used to use when we were acting up. And she would tell us, you better straighten up and fly right. So God is still telling us, giving us opportunity, opportunity after opportunity for everyone to straighten up and fly right. Because if not, you're going to be left behind. And you don't want to be left behind. But at the end of the day, the choice is ours. God is not going to force us to believe in him, to have faith, to trust in him, to love him, to be obedient to him. He's not going to force it. And I know there's a song that you wrote that's called The Choices That We Make. And so often we are in the situations that we're in because the choices that we make. But even then, God's grace is still there. We still have an opportunity to say, you know what, Lord, I messed up. I know I messed up, but I'm going to trust in you if you get me out of this situation. I'm going to trust and believe and try to because I believe in you. I have faith. I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection. I want to be saved. I am saved, but now I need to walk with you in obedience. But when I mess up, that grace is still there. But you can't turn around and say that and then go back and make those same bad choices. That's where that relationship builds in, because then your conscience will be tugged at you. You'll feel the Lord pulling that shirt, that coattail back, saying, mm-hmm. you don't want to go there. You don't want to do that. He's going to pull that coattail back, saying, stop, stop. Don't go down that path. If you have that relationship with him, regardless of what your flesh is feeling, your spirit won't allow you to do it. But it's all about right. the choices that we make. And like you said, we can choose to get on that train now, because the train mm-hmm. is moving, it's going to be leaving, or we can choose not to and have the detriment in this life, block our blessings in this life, have to pay the consequences in this life, as well as lose our life at the end of life.
Amen, amen. But Dr. G, some folks don't want to get on the plane. They don't want to wait on the plane. See, that's the thing about this transportation is the train is coming whatever it's supposed to be on time, but it might get there early or it might get there late. So the best thing for you to do is to get to the stop and wait on the train, or wait on the plane, or wait on the boat. I know they tell you to get to the plane 3 hours early or 2 hours early, or you get to the bus stop. Make sure you get to the bus stop, 15 minutes before, because you don't know if it's going to be early, it's going to be late. But people don't want to wait. They don't want to wait. They don't want to do what is necessary to make sure they get on the train, the plane, or the ship. And so here in Acts 17, 32, it says some mocked at it. And others say we'll hear some more. So what did Paul do in verse 33? What Paul did was he said, so Paul departed from among them. In other words, Paul was like, okay, I've given you the good news. I've given you the gospel. I've given you the word of God. I told you that Jesus was the one that fulfilled the word of God. And here it is. And so that as ambassadors for Christ, is we can't make anybody accept the Lord. We can't make anybody have faith. We can't make anybody, be saved. And all we can do is present it. And after Paul presented it, he left. and as we study in chapter 18, God is going to tell him to go to the Gentile, because Paul is presenting it to the Jew first. And that's what he said in the beginning of this chapter, that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel, because it was the power of salvation, and it was offered to the Jew first. And I want to go back to what chapter was that? I think it was chapter 1, Acts 1, verse 16. Where he talked about he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Can't find it, but I'll find it in a second. But anyway, he let them know that he wasn't ashamed, that this was the power of God and the salvation. And so it went to the Jew first. But now, after he's completing going to the Jew, now he goes to the Gentile. And after he's completed going to the Gentile, what happens is the gospel is and the word of God is put down on paper, and he's going on a missionary journey. And so now the word of God is, today, fast forward, it's spreading around the world, and it's carrying out the great command of God in Matthew 28 chapter, where he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so this gospel is going around the world. And so once God's plan of the gospel going on around the world takes place, then the gospel would have been presented to the Jews, it will be the Gentiles, and it will be have presented to all nations. And once that happens, that period of time with this grace, this good news of Jesus that goes out, then that's when the Lord is going to come and redeem his church. And that's when the period of grace is, the hand of grace is going to be withdrawn, and then the tribulation period is going to come in. And so here we see Paul departed in the last verse of this chapter, verse 34, says, howbeit certain men clave unto him. So some some believed. Some clave in them and believed, among the which was the Honest and Agrippa, the Agrippite, and a woman named Samarius, and others with them. So some are going to believe, and some are not going to believe. Some are going to accept it by faith, and some are not going to accept it by faith. And that's just the way God's plan was. He said, one man got you into this mess with Adam. One man can get you out, which is Jesus Christ. And so we have to choose. And some chose to mock, and some chose to not believe, but some chose to believe, and some chose not to believe. But that doesn't negate the fact that this is God's plan. So because it's God's plan, whether we believe it or not, or we agree with it or not, it's God's plan. And this is his plan to redeem, just like his plan was to redeem the Israelites out of Egypt, just like his plan was to redeem mankind during the flood with Jonah. With Noah. This is the plan of God to redeem mankind ultimately with the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you know, as you were saying, it is a matter of choices. And we have got to make up our minds who we're going to follow, whether we're going to serve the Lord or we're going to leave it alone. Like you say, you know, we've gotten into a mindset because we want what we want now. We don't want to wait, so life sucks. And then we want to complain. Well, here come the preacher. We have to continue to spread the word. We have to continue to preach and tell them like it is. I mean, it's the same thing with trying to get, you know, get our people back into the church building now. You know, it does get frustrating when you look out. You know, we've done everything that we can. We've done taken all of the precautions, but yet some people still don't want to take the vaccine. That's on them. But it doesn't take away from the fact that we can still gather in a safe place because we're taking precautions, we're doing what we need to do to give God the praise. And like you said, some folks choose to stay home, watch it on Facebook because they've got in their comfort zone. And sooner or later, you know, we're going to come to the realization that, you know, the Lord gets upset, too. The Lord gets tired of man's foolishness. But because he promised that he wouldn't destroy man, here comes fire. But the thing is, you know, we don't know the time nor the day when the Lord is going to come back. And we don't know how much time we've got on the face of the earth.
We're trying
to get all that we can do now, because tomorrow is not promised.
Amen.
That verse I was talking about with what Paul was in, actually in Romans. In Romans, the first chapter, verse 16, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." In other words, and verse 17 of that Acts, Romans 1, verse 17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so this is the leader, Paul, is presenting this gospel, and he's presenting it to the Jews, just like God instructed him. And some mock, and some just followed, and some believe. And Sheila G., I believe that we have those same three categories today, where you have people that are in the church that some are mocking, some are just following, and some are believing. You're always going to have those three factions. But again, God's time is and his presenting of the good news is available to them, but we have to not judge, but we just have to be consistent in our ministry, consistent in our witness, in the face of all of those who make those choices, and to continue to trust God that in the end, that he's a just God, and everyone will have an opportunity, whether they choose it or not, to be saved. Children.
Amen. We have to remember, this is one thing that this particular scripture is reminding us, is that we're ambassadors for Christ. We're not judge and jury, but our life, the way we live our life, should represent Christ. And every opportunity that we have, we should not be judgmental, but show the truth about God and being saved, and focus on that versus trying to make people happy. I think what has happened, part of the problem of what has happened in some of our churches, we've been so busy trying to just show that, yes, God loves us. Yes, if you trust him. Yes, he's a forgiving God. But we don't want to show the part that if you're disobedient, there will be consequences. That, yes, you have to build that relationship. Yes, you have to take time for him. Yes, you have to read your Bible so that you can fight off the enemy. And because we're not instilling that in people, that sacrifice, you got to sacrifice your busy schedule to be patient, to spend time with the Lord, so that in the end you will win. But we don't want to tell people that because we want to please people, and we want everybody that to you know, look at me, look at my life. No, point to God. This is what the scripture says. This is what you need to be saved. But at the end of the day, the choice is yours. But you can never say you were ignorant of this, because as ambassadors for Christ, we're sharing the good news with you, but we're also sharing that you have to grow. Was it Paul that said you can't stay on milk? You got to get that
That's
meat.
Right.
But the only way you get that meat, you can't be 20 years later still on that milk, you know, just like a baby. You got to get that nourishment. Now, that means that you got to eat the word. You got to eat the spirit. You got to have that spirit within you. But at the end of the day, it's up to you to do that. But we as Christian ambassadors need to point people towards that, but we can't browbeat them, and we can't compromise the word just so that we could be popular. And what I love about these scriptures, everything, whether they were being beaten, whether people were listening, whether or not, they were consistently pointing to Christ. It was not about them. It was not about me being looking good in front of people. It's about me encouraging people to grow in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Well said. We want to hear what people have to say tonight. We want to go to the phone lines, but I want to ask that question, Sheila G, what you were just talking about, people pleasers or God pleasers, and what relationship that we found that it's better. Is it better to be a people pleaser or a God pleaser? Because in our nature, we want to be praised by our peers. We want to, you know, get patted on the back. And sometimes it causes us to compromise and to lie and to scheme and to go along with the crowd. So we want to ask that question. Is it better to be a people pleaser, or is it better to be a God pleaser in the society that we live in today? We're going to go to our first caller. And last four digits, 1741. 1741, good evening.
Good evening, Pastor. Good evening, Pastor Gregory and Evangelist Gregory. It's so much better to be, to please God. And when we do what the Word tells us to do and the way that the Word tells us to do, we are pleasing God. But a lot of times we don't really want to hurt people's feelings, and sometimes love gets tough.
Yep.
Sometimes we do have to hurt people's feelings in order for them to see the light, in order for them to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the many times that my mother was sharing the word with me about salvation, and you know, sometimes it seemed hard and tough, but I appreciate it because it was the truth.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So the truth don't always make us comfortable.
Right.
And so a lot of times we, you know, we want to try to protect people. We don't want to hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to like us. And sometimes we're not going to be like. We're really not going to be like.
Amen. Keep it real.
If it means that it's going to make me better and it's going to help me, then it's going to hurt, and I might even get mad with you. I'm going to be honest with you. There have been times
when I got mad.
People told me things, but, you know, later on the Lord showed to me that it was the truth, and I was grateful that they done that. But, yes, sometimes, you know, we want to please people, but we have to do what the Lord tells us to do. And he tells us to do it in love, and I think that's the whole thing about it. We have to do it in love and pray. Pray before we go. Just ask God to speak through me. Give me the words to say, you know, and just let the Holy Spirit lead you. That's it, you know. And pray before you go and pray after you leave. Just keep on praying, you know, because the Lord, he prepares hearts, and he works on people, and he knows what that situation is before we even get there. And so if we are going to let the Holy Spirit use us and guide us and be led by the Holy Spirit, then we're going to say what the Holy Spirit gives us. Sometimes people say what they want to say.
Right.
They miss they little bit in with the Holy Spirit too, you know, and that's not good. But we have to let the Holy Spirit lead us.
That's right.
And God will work on that heart. Like I said, sometimes people might get mad with you. They might not like what you say to them, but God will deal with them. He'll work with them. He's going to let them know the truth. He'll break them down.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 6309. 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. For me, I have learned through this journey when Christ came into my life and actually changed me and changed my heart, and I started my studies and reading and everything I was supposed to do. No, it was a choice that I made. That's what I wanted. So I've had people to come up to me and say, you ain't like you used to be. I said, no, because the Lord can change me, and you asked me something, I'm going to try to help you change, you know, for your benefit. And just like Reverend Lindsay just said, yeah, they get mad with you. But I just go pray and ask God, because God is telling me what to say to them, especially when they come to me and ask me. But I know what he's done in my life. I know the difference that he's made. I know everything he's done for me, the sacrifices. I know the things that he has changed. Couldn't no man do it, and they never could. And I was on that side one time, but I'm not on that side no more. I'm on the side of the Lord, because I know what he stands for. He done proved what he stands for all through that Bible. And I know how he's done things for me in my life and my family's life. So I'm not no man pleaser. No.
Amen.
You ask me something, you're going to get your answer. You might not like it. You know, when I was out there in the world, I didn't like it either. But see, God has showed me a better way, the best way.
Amen.
That's all that I'm concerned with, and I'm concerned with helping draw anybody closer to God that I can. And that's what I do.
Amen.
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 Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller, last 4 digits, 3343. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. Yes, I am. Like I said, I talked to you last week about how my good vacation was good enough for me. I learned some things that I didn't know. It hurt me to my heart. I hurt some feelings to something that I felt so good about that God had did to me and did for me. And he showed me the thing that he was listening to me when I talked. And when I got to where I was going and everything, and we got to talking about God and everything, somebody said something to me, and then they flipped me off. Because I used to have the roving eye like you speak about, and I changed my time, has changed a lot of time. And I hurt somebody's feelings so bad that they flipped and got my mouth saying the wrong thing. So it was time for me to turn around and get my pack in my bag and tell me to come on back home before I get into trouble.
Amen.
So, yes, Lord, God is mine, and I can't change that. He's been too good to me now. And now I'm on another road now. I got a pot on the stove and it got some grease in it. And I had a good girl that gave me some good hot water cornbread. Somebody can't even make it no more. And home on a homemade remote road, I know how to eat that. They had some good things. And so I ain't gonna say no more. God would been good to me this last month. I'm telling you, I know He's been good all the time, but He was good to me this time. Thank God I'm back home. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 4580. Good evening. All right. Let's be listening in. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1712. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, it's definitely better to please God than man, but it's tougher to please God than man. You know, I remember times when I was younger and I would, knowing, looking back, you know, disappointed God so many times trying to please everybody else. And then as you start to live life, friends let you down, people lie, and you start to realize, like, you know, what a friend, you know, we have in Jesus, you know, because there have been many nights mm-hmm. I have spent alone having conversations with the Lord. And then I realized as I started to grow and develop a relationship with Christ, I realized that, you know, I started to actually have, what's the word I'm looking for? I developed a relationship with Christ, but as I started to grow in the body of Christ, I started to care less. The more I had a relationship with the Lord, the less I started to care about pleasing man and people of this world. Mm. And I think sometimes we try to hold on. So it's like, even though I know I'm growing, I'm trying to forcefully bring people with me. Like, you see what's going on. I'm growing. You know, I'm not trying to do those things anymore, be that same person. But that's the toughest part. You know, when you start to grow and you really start to understand the type of relationship that we need to have with God and what God expects us to have, everybody's not coming. And a lot of those everybody's are family, they're friends, mm-hmm. they're people that knew us way back when. And that's the emotional side of the growth, you know, not necessarily trying to please everybody, but once you get to that point, you realize, like, everybody can't go. We're all at different parts and spiritual journeys in our life. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people have made the trip eventually after some years and months, and they've gone through right. some things, and they've accepted right. Christ for who they are. But there are a lot of friends that are still out wandering around in the darkness and in the wilderness, man. But, you know, I am human, as I always say. I do make mistakes, but, you know, that's one of the mistakes I probably would say I make the least. I have no problem being alone, being in myself. I have a nice circle of friends, but I'm not out here trying to impress people. And then a lot of times, too, when we try to impress people, we're not even being genuine. We're not even being ourselves. We're trying to be what we think mm-hmm. they'll like mm-hmm. or right. try to be somebody right. and not be genuine. So I've given that up and put that mask down years ago. You know, I'm definitely not a people pleaser. I take me as I am. If you don't like me, that's fine. I pray for you. God bless you. But if you like me and you about Jesus and this Christian walk, then we can definitely do some mm-hmm. things. But it's extremely tough living in this world with so many things that tempt us, you know, to try to be people pleasers. There's so many things in this world that aren't about God. It's tough, but it's a daily struggle. You know, I think we can all say it's a daily struggle and something we have to be cognizant of every day because there's so much temptation out here. But, you know, I just pray and just thank God that, you know, I have a relationship with the Lord and I'm working on that relationship. But I'm just glad that even in my adulthood, you know, I've learned to not worry about trying to please everybody because you can't. They'll mm-hmm. smile in your face and talk about you behind your back. So even if you think you're pleasing right. some people, you're mm-hmm. not fooling most of them. They still don't like you. So why not just be genuine? You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. if they're going to talk about you, they're going to talk about you no matter what mask you wear or what role you try to play. But it's definitely tough. But I've just found over the years that the closer that I've had a relationship with Christ, the less I'm concerned about man and what man may feel about me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next call. Last four digits, 8760. 8760, good evening. All right, let's do this again. Go to our next caller. Last four digits, 9880. 9880.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I want to be a. I'm for the Lord. I got to be a God pleaser. You know, sometimes you have to stand alone, with your walk with God, because sometimes, you know, at that point in time, everybody's going to see it as like, oh, you know, what are you doing? And you're not doing what we're doing, but it's just like, you know, God is taking me on my journey, not people, you know? So when it comes down to it, you know, as far as me, and this is something I'm just continuously learning, that I just have to draw more closer to God, because, you know, in my time of questioning life and questioning things that go on with life, God is the only person that is really like, okay, you know, gives me confirmation, you know, so that's my piece.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Dr. G, that's going to do it for us tonight. Go ahead and give us your last comments and close out in prayer. Tell us about that can of grease you got there. How you going to fix that cornbread tonight?
Well, we honor the Lord. We thank God for all of the comments, and you know, being a God pleaser is something that people have to learn. And if or when they do accept Christ and they begin that walk, you know, they need to get with a church that is really teaching the Bible, getting in that word, a good praying church, and they'll learn that, you know, life is not handed to us in the way that we want. God is still large and in charge, and he's going to do things in his own way. So we might as well learn how, as you said, to put that lard, put that grease in the pan, and go for it. Can we bow our heads? Be Son of God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for one more evening. Lord, we pray that we've gotten some rich information. Lord, help us now as we continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, we thank you for these that have called in tonight. Lord, I pray that their lives have been made better for it. Help them, O Lord, to continue to walk and fight the good fight. We pray, O Lord, that you'll be with us on tomorrow, if it's your will. Lord, we thank you in advance. And we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.